trip was put together pretty quickly. Y'all may know, my son Thomas got to go to Jamaica with us in the 90s a lot, but he was not available when we went for the big trip anyway. Y'all may all know the history. Bubba knows it because he proposed it along with Claude initially to come in behind Joe and Nono as they joined the deaf ministry initially. It was under a different name at that time, as you may recall, but our teams prepared the first dormitories for the big groups. So we went several times before the large group in 2001, and Tom actually found the record from that. So thank you, Tom, for doing that. And Julie got it to me. At any rate, so Thomas was glad to get to go along and see what was going on down there, because he's been tracking the ministry from where he and his wife family lived down in Baldwin County. So that was good. We had two families, 12 people total, who joined to visit Nono Kate and their staff of 16. Keep in mind, y'all may know all this, so if so, just stop me. But do you realize that they have a staff of 16, but that doesn't count the people in the mission? That doesn't count the deaf instructors or the others that work for the mission, except for the pastor, who we really enjoyed getting to know, Mario and Keila. They actually have planted a church there, and it is in the Isaiah 55 facilities where they meet. We went on Sunday morning after we arrived, kind of jumping ahead a little bit here, but the worship service was dynamic, all in Spanish. Mario was preaching from Exodus chapter 4. If you know and remember some of that part of Exodus, that's when Moses was being called. And he presented several objections to God as to why he shouldn't be the one selected to lead the Exodus. So I was tracking it in my Bible because somebody said the word Exodus, and I've picked up a few words like some of the Spanish words, but not many. We sang songs. They had some of the melodies that we use, but it was very inspirational, old and young. The people were just, really, really into the worship. So that was an exciting part of the trip. Ethel and I enjoy going on these things together, and she. Jump in anytime you want to here, babe. Tom got us the resource book. Julie actually got it to me from our large trip, Bubba, 2001. So we were able to use some of the material from that. And I've got that on some slides here. Let's see if we can share my screen. There it is. I hadn't used Zoom in a while, so it's going to take me a minute. There it is. So they've got, as you guys, a lot of this is going to be just refresher, but an integrated ministry, three main prongs is what they do. Of course, the deaf ministry. And then they have a passion for reaching the deaf like no one else. And there's a real need there in that community. Since the government doesn't really do things the way our government does or would for the disabled, and in particular, this focus on the deaf, has allowed them to partner with other ministries in the area, in the country actually, as they develop curriculum for the deaf that no one else has done. It's not there. So all exciting, but the second prong would be the community outreach. And this postcard that they they did, can you see the whole card or just part of it? I'm seeing a different view here.
We can see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. an example of some of the many ways that they've seen to reach out to the community. But the actual location of Akili Sedan, where the three main properties of the ministry are, not counting the school, are in, you might say, a marginalized community. And you have a red light district. You have a city dump. So they encounter these garbage trucks, trash trucks, that are actually carts pulled by a mule or a horse. So that's what this depicts. We didn't see any of that while we were there because they've changed some of the policies on how trash is collected. So let's see how I advance this thing. There we go. So we had the songbook, Ethel and Rita, members of Trinity Choir, led our songs in the evenings. So that was fun. They had to do a little experimenting since we had some children with us. They tried using the sign language and not sign language. What do you call it when you do the
hand motions?
Hand motions. So that was fun. The members of the staff there, shown on this list that we just presented to our people so we could get right with it when we got there. They had this actually before meeting these people, but everybody knows the Beals, the pastor and his wife, I mentioned. Everybody has assigned duties, and they're all gifted in the particular areas where they've been placed. Kim Kaiser is a name that we've known since, well, probably 18 years she's been down there. And her partner, two of the ladies that came, young gals at the time, from Indiana to work. They both had fluent Spanish from the get-go. But Erin left the ministry when she got married, and she's got three little babies now, so she's busy. And Erin is not on staff now, but Kim and Erin were part of the original crew. Tim and Christy Holiday, really enjoyed getting to meet them. Christy is in charge of communications as well as several other, like you see her titles there, but she's the volunteer team coordinator. Set us up and had us, you know, all fixed and ready to arrive with the information we needed. Their volunteer manual is very clear and explanatory. So we provided that to each member before we went. Tim is a nuclear sub guy. He got his degrees in physics and nuclear energy. Very impressive. I just loved sitting and talking with Tim. He picked us up at the airport, took us back. We waited an hour and about 40 minutes to get out of the gate when we left. So we had plenty of time to talk and enjoy being with Tim. Marcus and Heather, I think each one of you probably met when they were at Trinity, been there. They're from Texas. That's where they relocated from. I think he was originally from Colorado. She's from Texas, but got something. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So Marcus and Heather have been there several years. He's in charge now of vocational manufacturing, the training center itself, which I'll get to a little bit more in a minute, and also works with the volunteer teams. Heather helps with the finances. You've got Ashley, who is interested in medical missions, does some of those when they have them from time to time. Meg is the vocational class coordinator and cultural liaison, very impressive young lady. We've got pictures of all these people too. So I know that Keila, it's not to be confused with Mario's wife, Gonzalez is in curriculum development as well. And then the other gentlemen here we met are, Hez is J-E-Z-I-E-L, Iziel goes by Hez, is part of the curriculum development, speaks very little English, but in what they're doing, they don't really need English. And then also Jonathan is kind of. Yeah, please go ahead.
Looking at all these people, it was neat, so neat for me to see how God has put together this team and how it works. I spent a lot of time with Kate just kind of picking her brain about different things. And one of the things we talked about and we experienced was how well they work together and how much fun they have working together and the joy that they have. You know, God has gifted each one with different gifts and they work together like a well-oiled machine just because it's the Holy Spirit doing all of that. Each one of them has their own spiritual director that they meet with from time to time. And so they are able to, if they are having a problem with something, they go to the spiritual director. And then the spiritual director says, like, for instance, well, you need to go talk to Ashley about this. I'm just throwing that name out. And so they keep very short-term accounts. Kate is over all the women, and she spends a lot of time with them. She feels like that is her ministry with these women. I mean, they have the best time working together, and you could just see the joy on their faces. Like on Monday night, they all like to get together and watch Dancing with the Stars. So Kate says, I can't spend time with you right now because I got to go watch Dancing with Stars, you know, and it's just great and refreshing to see how God has done that. And for me, the whole trip was an Ephesians 3:20 trip, you know. Now to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the mighty power that works within us, just to see how what God has done, and I'll kind of close with that, and I might jump in through this ministry from the very beginning, and how now it's at a place that it stands alone. It could be handed over. It's they have really worked on job descriptions and, you know, just all kinds of things that I mean, like you would do in an organization. I remember when Judy Kaiser and I was WIC president. Oh, poor WIC. But Judy came behind me and did mop-up duty. But we had to write out everything and write out job descriptions. And they have done that in the ministry. And it's just neat to see them all working together, led by the Holy Spirit. Take it away, Jose.
I don't know. I think we just
Carlos.
We need to say amen. But she's right. I agree with all of that. Here's a verse we kind of started our devotionals out with the first night. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one fragrance from death to death, to the other fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? What a question. We know only Christ is sufficient, for we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity commissioned by God in the sight of God. We speak in Christ. Here's our team. Of course, the deans and the grosses, and was interesting to see how we came together and enjoyed, you know, that association so much before the trip as we got together over a table for tacos one lunch a week before, and then just traveling together, working together, praying together, worshiping together. But the thing on these trips, everybody's been on them. You guys have experienced the bonding with the team members. So, that's something that we hope will continue that association with the deans. They actually had, and Julie, tell me if you can remember the name of the devotional that we used. But they had this, and Lawton had an extra copy, so I sent it down to Fairhope. And then Ethel and I shared a copy here. But it was a 31-day devotion to prepare for a trip, so we had that in time to do that. And the 31st day, reading Romans 15, it was titled Yonder Village. So as we got there, and we got there in the daytime, so we could kind of get a feel for the area and the city of Reynosa as you drive through, cross the river first, of course. And we could see throngs of migrants flocking the sides of the roads going in. And they come in waves, if you've probably been following the news, by the thousands, really. But they collect along the border, and not all of them get across right away. So Reynosa has really had a burden, whether they wanted it or not. And I think it seems like, that's a big burden there. But so as we arrived, we sat down for devotional that evening, went over this, some of this, and then another message that I had prepared. But from 2 Corinthians 10:16, Paul talks about preaching the gospel in regions beyond you. And that's the Yonder Village. And I said, guys, we're here. we're at the Yonder Village. Anyway, just thank the deans for having that devotional right at the right time, and sharing it with us so that we could all do that daily before we went. And if you haven't seen this booklet, it's exceptional. And it could have been, Tom's. Tom is so modest, he won't probably speak up. But it could have been from Kurt, since Kurt has had some involvement lately, too. Oh, say lately, how many years? But at any rate, the time there was special. The mission is alive and well. The morale is, over the top. In unheard of conditions and at a time such as this, they're going for it. We saw some booklets. I've got, again, pictures of these things, but maybe I'll share those with you another time. Because y'all probably don't want to be here all morning. I know you got an early start, but the curriculum, no thanks, might be the most lasting impact on the community, on the country, possibly, as the government is looking it over. And it just from what I saw, the deaf instructors, the teachers, very impressive. And the pictures would show you, they come out and teach in what looked like scrubs. I mean, it looked like Roland Hester, coming to do surgery. But they were all purple, and they had Isaiah 55 logo on them. Just a little, professional thing right above there. It's a pocket on his T-shirt. That's distinctive for Nono. He's got to have a T-shirt with a pocket. Don't give me a plain old T-shirt. But the purple, I think looked professional, and the students, these kids, they started about age 5 and go through right now, the crew they have.
Fifth grade. sixth grade.
Well, no, they've got some teenagers, 14 and 15. Okay. They top out so 5 to 15. But you think about it, they actually have K through 12. And some of these kids have been there a long time. And so that's where another part of the integration of the ministry begins, because as they get to be mid-teens, they've already learned, and the window opened for them when they were taught a few words initially when they came, whether they were 5 or 7. They want to get them as early as they can. But as Nono says, when that window opens for them, they finally realize that they have a name. And then a little bit further into the dialogue, after they learn to communicate, that their family loves them in a special way. And guess what? They were created by God who loves them. And as that is established in their hearts, another impact from this ministry that goes to the hearing community around these kids as well. And that's another part of another prong in the, on the integration. They're out to reach the hearing surrounding this deaf community, including family members. They have classes for parents on Fridays. As they come in and see the worldview being presented to these kids, they pick it up as well. And so, I mean, it'll knock your lights out, what God's doing there.
Do you have a picture of the kids?
I do have pictures of the kids. It might take me a minute to pull them in.
I was just going to say, they are the cutest kids, and they have uniforms, and they were, I mean, it just melts your heart to see them. Each one of them, starting with the preschool, when we were there, each one of them had to get up and introduce themselves in sign language. Yeah. And they did. And, you know, just the fact that you could see the confidence that they had, that they, you know, just in who they were, and sharing that with us. They had to stand up alone and do that. And it was just really neat. We probably don't have time to find the pictures, but.
Well, we'll describe it. Their little shirt said Isaiah 55 again, you know, right where you would see it, and just very, you get good looking, you know, white shirts with the blue collar, dark blue pants. And, They just look content. I mean, you know,
happy to be there.
Happy to be there. Now you could tell the younger ones were a little tentative. You expect that because they are just now learning how to talk, how to hear in that respect. And, and then the older ones were more confident. They would go right to it and do the, you know, and they all have it that the name has a sign. So their name depends on how they look, maybe their hair, their, you know, facial expression, or, you know, but their sign names, you know, each unique. y'all got any questions for us as far as what we might have seen that we're not able to remember?
Yeah, I want to hear an update, please, on the home for the disabled in Siri. I think one of y'all said that y'all went over there one day because we worked there a lot this summer. I was just wondering how that construction was going.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
We spent an afternoon over there, and I think we were in the area that y'all constructed the walls, maybe.
And the roof.
And the roof there, but the floor was still... You know, grass was growing and the floor had big rock. I mean, you know, it's still dirt and it had big rocks in it and everything. So our goal that afternoon was to get the floor leveled out. So it involved picking up, you know, rocks, pulling weeds, you know, hauling in wheelbarrows, hauling those big stones out, and then trying to get it level. They had these big things that you would tamp down the dirt. The girls, got to sort limes. They had huge crates of limes there, and we got to stick our hands down in the limes we had gloves, and pick out the rotten ones and toss the rotten ones out. And what they were doing with the limes, they would take it inside the main building, and then they had women squeezing the limes so that they could make lime juice and freeze it and eventually sell that lime juice. So I laughed. I texted the girls on our team and said, guess what? Guess what the price of one lime at Publix is? It's 53 cents. And I mean, I can't even imagine how many limes we went through.
They're right there in that area where y'all had put the roof and the new wall, the concrete walls. You're not talking about just a normal wall. What are they, about 20, 25 feet high?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Walls. Yeah. This is going to be a huge addition to this facility that's already up and running. Where the disabled come, some are children, some are older, and they do various, the ladies that stay there do various things.
What's her name? Siri, I think, is the name of the lady who's in charge, and she's so enthusiastic and just is so appreciative of any help that she can get. And that's one of the neat things, to see that they have come alongside Isaiah 55 Ministries, come alongside these other ministries who have the same goals, who are Christians, and help them out. And so that's just kind of fun to see. They have a Bible study, the crew does, with the Achilles neighborhood on Monday night. Charlie went over to it. I stuck around and talked to Kate and the girls who were getting ready to watch Dancing with the Stars. But the Bible study is very...
It's at 6:30 every Monday night, and it's at Larry's place. If you're familiar with that, Julie, I know you know. But that's another property that's across the street from where the dormitories are and the dining facilities, the courtyard. But the way that... that came about was as unusual as the way that they called the place where we stayed Kelly, because that's the lady that was ministering to the prostitutes, and she got married and moved to Oklahoma. But Isaiah 55 had done improvements to the property, so she donated it, the land and what improvements were there at the time, but they added to that. So it across the street, very unusual history to that facility as well, but they've made it into a place where you can have the children in after school. They teach them about honorable work, and then it leads to interest in the vocational school, which is at the bodega.
Next door.
Two doors down from that. That's right across the street from Kelly. But the bodega, the word means warehouse in Spanish. So it is a storage facility, but it's also much more than that, because they've got all kinds of equipment, saws and things for constructing furniture. They're making furniture there. They got two young interns who work there. And the problem, one issue that could be a problem, but they're trying to get through that by having these interns come in, and when they hire somebody to actually do honorable work at a place like this, instead of going to work for a narc, which you can do, they do and make more money, and other dishonorable, things going on in the community, provide less than honorable work. But one of their goals there with the vocational center is to take the, community in. And they're doing more and more of that, where they come in, they learn how to do different things, skills. They've got a sewing facility that was the second floor, enormous. I don't know. I can't describe how big the room is. It was probably as big as a Westminster room, set up with line after line of sewing machines, these big tables where they had the charts out where if you were going to do this or that type of garment, mark them off. But it was very thought through and set up properly. I knew they had some sewing going on, but I didn't realize what the facility looked like. So it was good to see that.
Ironworking.
Yeah, that's right. Ornamental iron.
The woodworking. They've started a community garden.
If you're familiar with the properties, I guess you'd say south of the border, ornamental iron is a big thing because you don't see a window, a door, a gate that's not constructed with ornamental iron bars sometimes. So, you work with what you got, and that's kind of what's in the area. What else, Julie?
Oh, I think that's great. I mean, the community outreach, I think, has been so big, and it sounds like the vocational program was kind of shut down during COVID, but it is back up and running, right?
Right.
Well, the way I look at it, it's got much potential. It's very impressive, but when they bring somebody in to train them, and hire them, maybe even a paid position. After they get up and running, they're prone to leave. Mm-hmm. And so that's a continual, it can be a turnover, but that's, I guess, part of the community work, and you work through that. Could I present some prayer requests for them? And if y'all want to take each one, take a prayer request, maybe we could pray together.
Yes, that's a great thing.
We got time for that.
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, first would be for the school kids, that they would continue to grow. More students could enroll. That too was affected, as you know, by COVID, but back up and running. This type of thing with the deaf doesn't work. You know, they could send assignments home, but it's just not the same as being there with those teachers who really know the work and have the heart for those kids. But just the whole thing to reach the deaf. Number two, the country of Mexico, the neighbors, as they come to know one another and this team, the crew, others that have been affected, that they would know how to know Jesus. The neighborhood itself, Achilles Cerdán, reach more people there, safety as the teams come in, and then for the supporters such as Trinity, who's been a spectacular supporter, and over time, from the foundations laid by men like Jack Noble and others, in particular, I think of Bubba. We used to call him Barnabas because he was the encourager and still is. This is amazing man. Those are three or four points that we could put on the prayer request for them right now. But of course, you think of the staff, they don't really come right out and say it, but I think let's keep the staff in mind too.
One thing to add to the Aquiles neighborhood, they are right there, surrounded by a lot of migrants, and most of the migrants that we saw a lot, are Haitian. And
that was just one of the waves. That was
the
wave of the week.
That was just the wave of the week. But they are there indefinitely because they cannot get processed to walk across the bridge into America unless they've been in an official Mexican shelter. And so they are just there living. They've erected tent cities everywhere. I mean, it might be
on the
Mexican side.
It's something that we didn't know. You see it on TV. It's mainly the U.S. side.
Right.
They are all over the place. And they took over a big square in the downtown part of the city for a year, and finally the city was able to get them out. They don't have police there in the city. They have military. The federal government provides military, and they are present. They're everywhere. Big guns flak jackets, helmets. And when the drug war was going on, there for 2 or 3 years, it got pretty dicey in the streets where you had Wild West shooting. But the military is there, and they do what they can. So they took them out of this square. Well, now they're just everywhere.
And where they are, where the landfill is, they're all around that landfill. But where I was going with this was, some of them, there was a guy from Haiti who showed up at this Bible study at Larry's house for the longest time. And so they have an opportunity. They wanted us to pray for how they could minister to some of these migrants. I couldn't think of the word migrants who kind of come through their neighborhood too.
And they also are very intentional about what they take on. I know Carolyn could tell us more about that as a board member, but that, you can't do everything. Like Matthew 9 says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. It doesn't say he was able to touch every person of the thousands and the hordes of people that would flock around. But the compassion, I don't know how to put it in words, but you could get a little bit
overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, sure. And so I think they've been looking at this and seeing, what God might be calling them to do with, or, maybe don't go there. You've got a focus on the ministries that you have already. So that's another thing that we can, just what's going on today, 2.3 million people coming across. And that is a real key city right there, where it's further south. As you know, it's almost to Matamoros, which is the end of the line, as you hit the Gulf there. So that's a group of prayer requests.
Right. All right. Well, we can turn to a moment of prayer here. I can open us up. Bubba, would you mind closing us? And anybody that would like to pray, please feel free to do so.
Let's also pray for No. He's recovering from gallbladder surgery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a successful surgery and actually was set to go home last night after the surgery. You know how they do it these days. Staying in the hospital, it's not like it used to be. But I remember when my mom had her gallbladder taken out, she was in the hospital for like 8 days. That was a long time ago.
All right. Y'all bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for the Grosses and the Deans being able to visit Isaiah 55 and just come alongside them and help them serve. Lord, we just ask you this morning to be with the staff, especially with No, as he's healing. Lord, pray you be with Meg. As we're sorry she wasn't here with us today, but Lord, just lift her up and her new marriage. Pray that you will keep her healthy and as she heals from the flu, and as well as Lawton. Lord, we just pray that you will be with all of them as they continue to serve you in this neighborhood, Lord, and they make decisions on how to do that the best way in the way that you want them to, Lord. We just lift all these up to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just thank you for this excellent report that Charlie and Mary Ethel have brought us this morning, and just being able to bring us up to date. Thank you for the willingness to go and to serve and to be an encouragement to Kate and No and the team. And Father, we just thank you for what you're doing there, just the amazing things that are happening. Thank you for just giving grace and growing this mission, and just for so many things that Charlie and Mary Ethel have mentioned, just the great morale that they see there, the way the ministry is just continuing to thrive year after year after year, and just the number of children that are being reached and their families. And Father, we just give you thanks and praise for all that you are doing there. And Father, we just pray in particular for the children. And having been out of school for a while, Lord, we just pray for motivation as they get back into school for the first time in a while, and just that they would continue studying, that parents would be involved in their education. We pray for all of the teachers and for each of the children in some of the difficult situations that they're in, Lord, that they would just truly experience God's love, and through their learning language and being able to communicate, Lord, that they would truly understand your mercy and grace and receive the gospel, and that many will come to know Christ as well as families. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the deans and for the Grosses. Mm-hmm. And Father, we just pray that you will continue to show us here at Trinity how we can come along beside this great ministry and continue to encourage them and support them in just whatever way you would have us to pray in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just thank you that you're doing great and mighty things in Mexico. Father, you're bringing people to a saving knowledge. Your son, Jesus Christ, through the work of Isaiah 55. Father, just pray for this neighborhood and these children there, that they would be encouraged to get involved in this ministry, that those who had fallen away with COVID would come back and bring more friends and others that may have hearing difficulties, Father. Father, it's wonderful to be in hope to the hopeless. Father, we know you do that through your son, Jesus Christ. We just ask that you continue to do that. Pray for No-No as he's healing, that you would give him comfort, painless, pain-free, healing time, that he would have no complications. Father, we just ask all this in your son's name.
Dear God, we give thanks for all the many, many things that they've done in Mexico, how they've helped so many children. We pray for those children and pray that they can move on to a much better life because of what they learn in Jesus Christ and the skills that they're taught. We pray for perseverance of the staff. We pray that they can continue to teach the children and teach them a trade and a way to get along in life. But most of all, we give thanks for spreading the gospel and the true meaning of life in Christ. We pray in his name.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this time. And I thank you for Tommy and Mary Ethel sharing this with us. And I thank you for the years of ministry that they have been doing here through this church and even before being at this church, and the encouragement to all of us for what's going on. Lord, for using Isaiah 55 as a ministry from this church, it really gets so much of us involved. Know what's going on in the world and just the different ministries they have down there. What a blessing that is to hear about that. But I do pray for wisdom of the board, which we have David and Carolyn serving on, as they meet soon to discuss the future. There's so many opportunities, but as we know, you can't do them all. So give them wisdom as they need and discuss this to see where to go. But again, we just thank you for No-No and Kate and their leadership over the years, and so encouraged to hear how well this team works together. That is such a blessing. such an encouragement, so that you would continue to lead them working together, and Nono and Kate as they lead them forward to you. So what a blessing again, just to hear what's going on about the ministry. So we praise you and thank you for that. And I too lift up Nono and his help, Lord, and Kate too, the impact that she has made on that ministry. We just thank you for her. So we are so blessed, and we just praise you and thank you for that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.